Here is the moderator of the American Forum, Stephen McCormick.
Wiretapping is the technique of listening in, uninvited, and in most cases illegally, on private telephone conversations. Information picked up through wiretapping can be used to break laws and to help enforce them. In some states, officers can present to the courts evidence obtained by wiretapping, but wiretap evidence is not acceptable in the federal courts of the United States. Congress is considering a new bill to admit wiretap evidence in certain special cases. Here today to discuss the question of legalized wiretapping are Congressman Emanuel Sella, Democrat of New York, Chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, and Congressman E.L. Forrester, Democrat of Georgia, a member of the House Judiciary Committee. Well, gentlemen, to begin, in order to fight fire with fire, do you not feel that any law enforcement officer should be allowed to wiretap in order to be able to convict lawbreakers? Congressman Sella, how do you feel?
No, I'm in emphatic disaccord with that. I feel with Justice Holmes, in a case some years ago, said wiretapping is dirty business, and wiretapping is eavesdropping, or it's a vehicle for peeping toms. And I think peeping toms and wiretappers and eavesdroppers are as obnoxious as alligators.
Yet your
bill... The situation is widespread throughout the country, and my bill would not permit everybody to wiretap who was a law enforcement agent. It would simply permit wiretapping in cases involving national security only.
By the federal government agents?
Only by federal government agents, with the consent of the Attorney General, and only after a court order.
Let me ask Congressman Forrester the same question.
Well, now, Mr. McCormick, of course we are dealing strictly on the federal level. But you asked me the general question, and I'll be glad to answer that question for you. Yes, sir, I certainly do believe in some laws which will permit the officers of the various states and the federal government to wiretap and to make that evidence admissible in courts, and I'll tell you why. Number one is that the criminal of today, that is the high-powered criminal, is using the most modern methods available to him to commit crime. Now, it follows in natural sequence that if you expect the peace officers of this country to combat crime, then you have got to allow them to use the same modern methods as are being used by these criminals. Now, my chairman, Mr. Sellers, says that Justice Holmes said that wiretapping was a dirty business, that it was like eavesdropping. Well, of course, we know that indiscriminate wiretapping, that's a little dirty, and it is eavesdropping. But the great trouble is now, eavesdropping is admissible evidence in the courts.
Mm-hmm. Well, Congressman Sella.
Eavesdropping is not admissible evidence in the federal courts today. Eavesdropping under my bill would be evidence if by wiretaps only where you had safeguards to protect the individual rights. That is, wiretapping could be had after a court order had been obtained from a federal judge under the auspices of the Attorney General. Now, in my opinion, there is such a thing as privacy, and our privacies are being too often invaded, and wiretaps invade our privacies, our liberties. If anybody eavesdrop over a telephone, well, he then can know the confidential communications between husband and wife, between lawyer and client, between the priest and the confessor, and I don't want that situation. You can't limit this. You can't limit a wiretap. You hear everything. The door is open to everything a conversation can reveal.
You say you can't limit the wiretap, Congressman Sella. Do you feel you can, Congressman?
Oh, yes, of course you can, and we are not even discussing those particular phases that he's bringing up now. The states can take care of that, and that is the duty of the states, and I'm sure that they will do it.
No, the states haven't done it.
But now I do. Well, pardon me now.
You said that
eavesdropping was a criminal offense. I tell you that it is not a criminal offense.
It is in your own state.
It partially, you mean about the evidence being admissible?
No, eavesdropping is a criminal offense in the state of Georgia.
Well, I didn't say that. I said it was not a criminal offense in the federal government.
Well,
Now here's what I'm saying to you. I'm saying to you that eavesdropping evidence is admissible under the law of the state of Georgia in evidence and admissible in your state of New York.
Now, that's all right for Georgia, but I want to have a situation develop where interstate conversations would be interdicted and precluded. Georgia can only interdict and prohibit and provide sanctions against intrastate conversations. But we know the telephone is an instrumentality for interstate communications. And just as we, for example, federally offered legislation to cover stolen automobiles where the states themselves couldn't combat that situation, where we offered legislation federally to control slot machines crossing state lines, where we offered legislation concerning narcotics and the Mann Act, compulsory prostitution, why here we have to step in likewise and help the states in the question of interstate commerce where these telephonic communications cross state lines.
Yeah, but you see, that's one of the objections that I've got to your bill. You want to step in and help my state of Georgia. But now, of course, now when you put this provision in here, and where you are dealing with state law and says that wiretapping shall be illegal and the evidence illegal, except in compliance with state law, what you're doing is you're saying that my state can never legalize wiretapping.
Yes, your state can legalize it because this act that I speak of, my act, my bill rather, H.R. 43, House Resolution 4315, expressly exempts operations in the states where the states provide for wiretapping. We don't interfere whatsoever in what Georgia may do. But let me ask you this question.
Oh, yes, you do, too.
Let me ask you this question. Suppose you have a telephonic communication between somebody in the state of New Jersey or in Pennsylvania and somebody in New York State, and the wire is tapped. I'm in New York, and the tap is in Philadelphia. What am I going to do? Allow myself to have my privacy invaded and to have everything spread on the record, or have some criminal use the conversation that I've had for purposes of blackmail and extortion?
No, nobody has argued that that kind of evidence would be admissible.
What the moderator
asked us about was about the law enforcement bodies having the right to wiretap.
Well, are you
and
in
that's
favor?
What we are talking about.
Would you be in favor of a federal statute that would prohibit and make it a crime to wiretap across state borders in the way I've indicated between Pennsylvania and New York?
Well, now, it depends on what you're talking about. Are you talking about just eavesdroppings and so forth, or are you talking about involving national security?
I'm talking about national security.
Let's talk about kidnapping. Kidnapping
or narcotics or anything. I simply want to make wiretapping per se a crime in the federal courts when it's done across state lines. And in that sense, every wiretap would be illegal except, and the exception would be in the interest of national security. I would surrender some privacy and the right of privacy in the interest of preservation of our great nation and in the interest of national security, so that where the federal officials are running down malefactors against our espionage laws or our sabotage laws or our Atomic Energy Act or our national security laws, I will say, all right, wiretap, and use that evidence in the court. But anything beyond national security, I would say no. I would interdict that.
Congressman Forrester.
Well, of course, I wouldn't agree with you. I would say that the state should have some laws on the subject, and that evidence of wiretapping should be admissible in courts. Now, let me show you what you're doing. Now, I say to you that it is completely possible that a man could, in his own home here in the city of Washington, by using his telephone as his agent, that he could carry on all over the world a conspiracy dealing in narcotics. His agent in Atlanta could sit in his own home and he could talk to him on the phone. He could tell him to meet a plane and to go down, to have the agent to meet a plane and go down and take the narcotics off of the plane. All right, now that agent in Atlanta could call the messenger boy over there in his own home and tell him to go down and meet that plane. What you're doing, you are just giving the criminal a one-way street.
No.
And you're not giving the police officer any opportunity to catch him.
No, I want to make it a criminal offense for the criminal to use wiretapping. And my bill would do that. Now, with reference to narcotics, it's interesting to note that the Senate only a few days ago provided that that wiretapping could not be used to track down those who purvey heroin and those who are smuggling heroin. Now, the great body called the Senate, our brother body, has seen fit to deny the right to use to the use of wiretaps to anybody, federal agents or otherwise, in tracking down narcotic peddlers. Now, I'm quite sure that they wouldn't accept any provision that would permit the use of wiretaps to track down lesser crimes or narcotics.
Gentlemen, could I ask you this question? Is it wiretapping itself the issue, or is it the information gained from wiretapping that causes
under
the problem
might,
here?
It might state this. Under Section 605 of the present Federal Communications Act, it passed in 1934, the Congress provided that wiretapping plus divulging or making public the result of the wiretap was a crime. So that we have the anomalous situation that you can wiretap, but if you wiretap and do not at the same time divulge, you're not committing a crime. Mm-hmm. And the really wiretap at the present time is not a crime. So that we have legislated on this subject.
Just a minute. And here's what you've got also. You also now have the Attorney General in the situation that if he wiretaps, he's violated the law. The military, if they wiretap, they violate the law. And of course, you know. And by the way, since you said what the Senate had done the other day, let me say to you that on Thursday of this week, Congressman Walter Judd of the Foreign Relations Committee testified that there were communists in two of the departments of the United States government right now. Well, you remember that?
Well, I remember that, but I don't see in what way that adds to this argument.
It's got a whole lot to do with this argument. You remember the Judith Copeland case? Well, that woman was over there and stole classified secrets, and because they used a wiretap method to detect her, that although the evidence showed overwhelmingly she was guilty, that she's now walking the streets absolutely free, and you can't touch her?
Well, that's exactly what I want to do. Judith Copeland violated our national security laws. And because the law was defective, and the law simply said that you could, if you wiretap and you do not divulge, that is, use the evidence in the court, why, you are you're not violating the law.
I want to say
to the enforcement officers, you have a right to get after the Judith Copelands. But before you do that, get a court order. Track her down. Tap her wires. Because the national security is involved. And then, if you do that, you can use the evidence in court. But because they didn't do that, they couldn't use the evidence in court.
I want to remedy that defect. But wait a minute. No, your bill won't remedy that defect.
Why not?
My bill, H.R. 762, is the one who would render that, remedy that defect, which would make that evidence admissible.
That's exactly what my
bill. And that's one that I tried to get you to pass but you wouldn't do it.
Mr. Forrester, if you look on page 17 of my bill, under the title Admissibility of Evidence, you provide that if an order has been obtained by a federal judge, an ex parte order, asking for the tapping of a wire, then whatever goes over that wire can be used in evidence.
But that doesn't touch the Judith Copeland cases, Mr. Chairman. Well, you know it doesn't.
No, that's something that happened before. Now, if you want to pass an ex post facto law, in the sense that passing this law now to get after past cases, that's a different matter.
Well, don't confuse the issue. You're the one that said you want to get after Judith Copeland.
In other words, if a new Judith Copeland case were to come along,
I'm looking to the future. I'm not looking to the past.
But here's what the gentleman's doing. The gentleman is taking the position that wiretapping of a telephone is an invasion of the privacy of the home.
Absolutely.
And I disagree with the gentleman completely. As a matter of fact, the United States Supreme Court disagrees with the gentleman completely. They have held that in no wise was that an unlawful search or an unlawful seizure, nor was that compelling any person to give evidence against himself. You are correct when you say that the only trouble that arose was when they passed Section 605 of the Federal Communications Act. That's why that evidence is not admissible.
The Supreme Court never said it was an invasion of privacy. The Supreme Court said in one of its cases it was not like a search and seizure and was not violative of the Fourth Amendment. But I mentioned Judge Holmes before, I think I did, who said it was dirty business and the evidence couldn't be used in the language of Justice Frankfurt in one of the cases because the evidence was the fruit of a poison tree. I don't want any of this poison.
Well,
because
now, Judge,
it's so widespread that we have to get after it because there's no sanctity on the telephone anymore. And I want privacy. I want privacy in the home. I want privacy at the hearth. I want privacy in business conversation. I want privacy in all conversations. And I don't want any malefactor, any goon or gangster, any bandit or a gambler interfering with my conversation.
But the great trouble in infirmity and that argument is that you've given the criminal complete privacy.
It may be. Nothing is perfect. I want to get tracked down those criminals, and if we had good law enforcement, we can track them down.
Well, I'll tell you what I want to do.
There's nothing perfect. You have to weigh the equities with the inequities. And on balance, I feel it's best to ban all wiretapping except in the interests of national
security. Well, I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to catch these communists. You and I have voted
you
to
will,
send...
Mr. Forrester.
You and I have voted to send these 18-year-old boys overseas. And I was shocked to read in the record in the testimony before your committee where a military man said that by using wiretap evidence that they discovered espionage, which was going to be committed by soldiers themselves, and which, of course, was going to endanger the lives of every one of those boys that you and I sent over there. What? But that evidence is not admissible in the court. You can't prosecute
You're
it.
Mixing things up. As to communists, they will violate our national security laws. And I want the right to tap wires of communists because that's a way to track down those who violate our national security laws, and communists do that.
Well, let me
as
ask
to
you
the
this.
Army,
let
the
me ask you this.
Army and Navy Air Force, the testimony was to the effect that espionage is abroad is handled by the CIA, and they tap wires, and these bills doesn't get after anything abroad.
Is it not true that most government agencies tap wires that are in
most government agencies, and FBI could tap wires.
And that is not against the law, but you can't divulge it.
I'm not against wiretapping if it's done first by a obtaining of an ex parte court order. The court intervenes to see to it that the right to wiretap will not be abused.
Let me
and
ask
that
you
the
this
privacy
question.
And the individual and citizen will not be abused. Then after that court order is obtained, then they can tap the wire and they must make a report to the federal judge or the federal court.
Let me ask
Mr.
you this Parker. Question. Do you not think that also the law should be allowed to wiretap to apprehend a murderer?
If the state law, in its wisdom, wishes to use wiretaps to apprehend a murder, God bless the state. Let the state do it.
Well, now, let me ask you
and this bill does not interfere with the state right.
Oh, but yes, it does, too.
I'm afraid, well, I told you it exempts state statutes.
I know you told me that, but I don't agree with you.
Well, I'll read it.
Well, I know. I can read, too. Now, you let me read it. What you say is that except in compliance with state law, you're talking about present state law. And then, of course, you know also...
Talking about what?
You're talking about present state law.
Well, present. That means present and future.
No. Well, now, you wait a minute. Now, what did the United States Supreme Court hold the other day in the Nelson case in Pennsylvania? It held that where you had legislated in that field, the federal government had preempted the field, and Pennsylvania could not legislate against sedition, and that's just what you do in my state and the other states.
With all due deference to the gentleman from Georgia, there's nothing to do with this. I simply state that evidence can be used, evidence cannot be used in a court except in compliance with the state law.
That's
and if
exactly
the state law, if the
Congressman
state law, that refers to the future as well as the present, if the state law permits the use of the evidence, permits wiretapping, God bless the state. Let them do whatever they wish.
But the gentleman
but that
knows.
Has nothing to do with the federal communication.
The gentleman,
Act.
I know, and that's why you ought not to have used the word state there. You ought to
what
take
would you
state
want?
Out of it.
What would you want?
You know what I want. I want you to not legislate on the states at all.
My
Let's
dear,
legislate on the
federal you're a member of the Judiciary Committee, and if you wish to change this verbiage so that you would exempt the states, I would be perfectly willing to accept your language, provided we exempt the states. I don't want to.
But doesn't the gentleman know that I intend to do that very thing?
Well, I certainly would accept that. I'm not married
well,
or jealous of the verbiage that I've used.
Well, I'm glad the gentleman agreed to it, because on two former occasions, the gentleman didn't agree with me on it.
Well, I think the language that you presented was not in conformity with what you're saying now. If it is in conformity, I will accept it.
Gentlemen, let me move along to this question, if I may. All right, go ahead, Mr. Forrester.
I did not offer any language. What I want to do is strike the word states completely out of it. I just don't want you to touch my states at all.
Well, then it might be even worse for you if you do that. Then the states could not do anything with reference to the use of wiretaps, because then the act would be applicable throughout the 48 states.
I want to exempt it
from the states so that the states can set up their own language, their own statutes.
Here's what you could do, and the gentleman knows well you could do it. You would just say that did not have application to the states. Just put it down at the bottom of your bill.
I'm perfectly willing to accept. Provided the states have an act of their own and make provisions for or against wiretaps.
But now the great trouble, the gentleman knows that under legal jurisprudence, going back to Blackstone, Hale, Hawkins, and all of the authors on criminal law and evidence, they have held that evidence of this kind is admissible. Even evidence illegally obtained.
Of course, I differ with you. Eavesdropping under the common law was an offense, and evidence of eavesdropping could not be used under the common law. And go back to your Blackstone and the very savants that you mentioned, and you'll find that what you say were not quite true.
I am delighted to go back with the gentleman. The gentleman is a great lawyer and had much more experience than I have. But
gentlemen, let's go back to wiretapping here for a moment.
I don't think he's had as much as I have in the criminal field, because I've prosecuted 27 years.
Let me ask this question.
One observation.
All right, go ahead, Congressman Sella.
We have wiretapping in New York State. And one of our eminent jurists in New York State had this to say about wiretapping. He said that his investigation indicates that the right to wiretap does not necessarily make detection and tracking down crime easier. It cannot ever be said, even in partial extenuation of this revolting practice, that wiretapping yields worthwhile results.
Now tell me what your district attorneys in New York said about it.
Yes, they disagree with him.
They certainly did disagree, and they said that in the 14 years that they had been wiretapping, that they had never hurt an innocent man.
I would say that the district attorneys always want to use the easiest method. They want to make it as easy as possible for themselves. And I say that with all due deference to the two very distinguished district attorneys of Kings County and New York County. But again, on balance, I would be willing to make it harder for them if I thereby preserve the rights of the individual, preserve their liberties under the Constitution.
But here's the great trouble. I disagree with this gentleman that you've got that right. I say that you have the privacy in your home so long as you are in your home behaving yourself. But when you take the telephone and use it as your agent and go out and cover this entire world, then I say that your constitutional rights do not apply and was never intended to apply. Let me give you an illustration.
Well, let me answer that. What about those 50,000 families whose telephones were tapped in New York, where these malefactors got into an apartment house and then was able to tap a trunk line?
Well,
and entrances into the privacy of some 50,000 homes in the swanky neighborhood of New York City, and they used those tape recordings, which they stored away, which were a great reservoir upon which they drew juicy bits of information, and they used it for blackmail and corruption. Now, they were innocent people in their homes, and they found themselves the victim of this extortion racket.
Now, here's what I say. Your state ought to get rid of that dirty linen and wash it for yourself, not come down here and ask us to do it for you.
But if that were a conversation that came from New Jersey into New York, our state couldn't get after it.
That's why we must have the federal statute.
Because the minute you cross lines, just like in the stolen automobiles or narcotics, when you cross state lines, you have to have the federal government intervening.
Now, of course, the gentleman knows.
The state can't go beyond its borders.
Now, of course, the gentleman knows that the Supreme Court has already held that your Federal Communications Act covers intrastate connections also. So now let's don't get that confused.
But the state jurisdiction don't go beyond its borders.
No, but you know that the federal government has held that under the Commerce Clause, that inasmuch as you'll be connected with some other line which goes out of the state, that you come into the rule of the interstate law.
That's correct, but I'm trying to say to you that's why we must, because it's interstate in nature, that communication, have the federal government step in, because the state government cannot step in because the telephone message goes beyond the state borders.
We do step in on it.
May I ask this question, yes, gentlemen? Will any of these proposed bills on the Hill regarding wiretapping have to do with other methods of electronic communication? Or are we just talking about wiretapping on the telephone?
I'm glad you brought that up, because at the hearings, it was developed that there have been a rapid development in the art of wired and wireless electronic eavesdropping. And It was shown to us that not only walls, but statuary or any object in a room could have ears and listen and could be bugged. Even the receiver of a telephone could be bugged. And that telephonic conversation could be heard at a great distance away from that telephone.
Does your bill cover that?
No, it doesn't. But the science is going is developing so rapidly. Electronics and the ability of some of these malefactors to use these new devices are going so far that we have to address ourselves to it.
Let me ask Congressman Farr.
We don't know enough about it yet, and therefore we just limit ourselves to eavesdropping over telephone and wiretapping. But I hope at some not far distant day to get after that situation.
Which, of course, the federal government can't touch that, don't you?
I don't know whether they can or not.
Of course, I'd like to study it. It happens in the state.
If it went across the state line, sir, could you do it? Could you do something about it?
Oh, yes, but then, of course, that would not happen with these things that he's talking about. It would happen in a county and in a particular state, and it's a state matter exclusively. And by the way, I'll tell you the irony of it. That evidence is admissible in the courts, even in his court in New York State.
Well, Mr. Forrest, you're rather inconsistent. You told me before and told this audience that every telephonic conversation had interstate implications, and therefore the federal authorities had the federal government had jurisdiction. So that, for example, we had an illustration where a switchboard in an apartment house had some paint on it, and it was discovered that that paint was of such a contrivance and involved such peculiar particles of metal in the paint that the paint itself acted as a conductor, and they were able to intercept and wiretap the switchboard by the use of paint.
I'm sorry, gentlemen, I must interrupt. Sorry, Congressman Forrester, but our time is up for today, and I certainly do thank both of you.
Well,
Congressman,
I wish Emanuel's... you could have gotten one in there, because I certainly was not inconsistent.
Well, Congressman Emanuel Sella, thank you very much, sir, and Congressman E.L. Forrester of Georgia, thank you. The nation's first discussion program, The American Forum, is now in its 28th year, founded and produced by Theodore Granick. This is Steve McCormick bidding you goodbye.
Listen again next week when The American Forum will present another topic of interest to you. For reprints of today's discussion on the American Forum, send 10 cents to Ransdell Incorporated, Printers and Publishers, Washington, D.C. America's oldest unrehearsed discussion program is dedicated to the public debate of all sides of all issues vital to you and your country. The American Forum is produced by its founder, Theodore Granick, directed by René Maréchal. This program came to you from Washington, D.C. This is Stuart Finley speaking. This has been an NBC presentation.
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll be looking forward to monitoring you again next week.